Test. This isn't, oh, there we go. Okay. This is Talk Labor with Frau Fiber, streaming on kchung.org, 1870.
The snars upon the fell, canny folks are sleeping yet, but laddies leap to sell. Come, me little washer lad, come, let's aware. We're bound down to slavery for 4 pence a day. It's early in the morning, we rise at 5 o'clock, and the little slaves come to the door to knock, knock, knock. Come, me little washer lad, come, let's aware. It's very hard to walk for 4 pence a day. Me daddy was a miner and lived down in the town. 'Twas hard work and poverty that all has kept him down. He aimed for me to go to school, but brass he couldn't hear. So I had to go to the washing rate for 4 pence a day. 4 pence a day, me lad, and very hard to walk. And never a pleasant look, for he had gruffy looking talk. His conscience it may fail, and his heart it may give way. Then he'll raise us our wages to 9 pence a day.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm going to start today with a labor report. At the conclusion of 2016, the U.S. labor market is in its best shape since the recession, with nearly every measure of the market at its most favorable level. Favorable for whom? At the same time, economic confidence has improved slightly in recent years. People are holding on to their money and not shopping, but they're not sewing either. Concerns about the job market are widespread, and not just among Trump supporters who want to bring back manufacturing jobs. I hope they realize they might be getting third world wages to bring those jobs back. And we will watch the gig economy grow and grow, and thus the end of work as we know it. No more benefits or paid holidays. With the sustained and continued recovery, why did job market worries persist? Because the jobs are low pay and the cost of living continues to rise? The Labor Department says recent data isn't as good as it first appears. Plus, the overall numbers hide big differences across industries, regions, and demographic groups, some of whom are faring badly. No surprise there. Let's hide the bad news. But people living on minimum wage know what the truth is. And finally, now the labor market is far from the acute crisis of the recession, the market's chronic conditions are easier to see and perhaps more possible to address. Are chronic conditions underemployed? Are conditions chronic? Underemployed college students are earning minimum wage, or the unemployed who have left the workforce entirely? On the upside, thanks to the years of job growth, the unemployment rate has fallen to 4.6%, its lowest level since August 2007. Yeah, people are working in the gig economy 12 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week, just to make rent. But payroll growth was much lower in 2016 than in 15, which means the workers aren't getting raises. Let's reflect on the job report. Compare it to your own employment situation. How much do you have in your pocket? Are you paying your bills? And is there anything left in the bank? Under the bed? It's time to start drafting those letters, making those phone calls to Mr. Andrew Pudzner, the next labor secretary, and let him know what you think.
But you gotta put in work, 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 work. You don't gotta go to work, 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 work. Let my body do the work, 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 work. We can work tomorrow, oh, oh. We can work tomorrow, oh, oh.
For me. Take it to the world, pick it up for me. Look back at it, don't look for me. Put it right like my time sheet. She ride it like a 60D. I'ma buy a new Celine. Let her ride in the forest for me. Oh, shit. I'm her boo. Then she just break the post. Ride it down, she gon' go. I'm gon' do. She finesse, nice like blue. She take that, take it all.
But you gotta put in work, 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 work. You don't gotta go to work, 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 work. Let my body do the work, 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 work. We can work tomorrow. We can work tomorrow.
Not too many of us have the privilege of working from home, but Fifth Harmony does. Okay, in textile news, California has so many official symbols. The state mineral is gold, its animal is the grizzly bear, and its state fossil, the saber-toothed cat. The California State Assembly has added a new bill declaring denim. It's the new state fabric. It was sponsored by the Democratic Assembly member Mark Levine. And the bill lays out a clear rationale for why denim should be the state fabric, starting with the definition of denim. Denim is a sturdy cotton twill fabric whose history is interwoven with California's from the 1850s through today. The bill suggests that it's designed to celebrate the state's cotton farmers, its textile producers, and its garment manufacturers. The bill's number, however, is AB 501, which that's a familiar number to many of you. It betrays the true honoree of this bill, Levi Strauss. California is declaring Levi's its state company, one of California's iconic institutions, which no longer makes clothes in the Golden State, and it never sourced its denim here. I'm not even too sure if cotton was grown in California. Texas, yes. I don't know about California. But anyway, California's history with denim is very real, but the fabric isn't really part of the state's present, despite its growing micro-industry of high-end denim jeans, which many are made right here in Southern California. So pretty interesting stuff, the state fabric, denim.
I'm so free, yeah. This is how I wear my jeans, yeah. This is how I love to wear my jeans. I know a Mr. Good Kisser, and he's down for a girl in hipster jeans or a vintage flare. He like it when I wear them like I just don't care. Or a skinny, I like to wear mine real snug. You could probably see a penny in my back pocket, jeggings too, however I rock them. Or with Slim Boo, I wear those to compliment my shoes. Man, this is sounding like a banger, and I started feeling flossing as I took them off the hanger, yep. But the hardest thing is choosing between those and my artist jeans. Best thing is you ain't gotta be a man to wear them baggy jeans and call them boyfriends. This is how I wear my jeans, yeah. This is how I love to wear my jeans. I put my worries in my pocket. I'm so free, yeah. This is how I wear my jeans, yeah. this is how I love to wear my jeans.
Every morning when I wake up, I grab my blue jeans and away I run. Up to the mountain and down to the sea, I bring my blue jeans everywhere with me. Low rise and boot cut, slim or relaxed, no matter how I rock 'em, you know it's taking me back. Good times and good friends, we all feeling great. As a matter of fact, when I wrote this verse, I was rocking original straights, yeah.
This is how I wear my jeans, yeah. This is how I love to wear my jeans. I put my worries in my pocket, I'm so free, yeah. This is how I wear my jeans, yeah. This is how I love to wear my jeans, yeah. This is how I wear my jeans.
So there's a little few songs about denim and jeans and the fabric of our lives. Looking back on this day in 1912, in the dead of a Massachusetts winter, the Great Lawrence Textile Strike began, commonly referred to as the Bread and Roses Strike. Accounts differ as to whether a woman striker actually held a sign that read, "We want bread and we want roses too." No matter where it came from, it's a wonderful phrase, as appropriate for the Lawrence strikers over 100 years ago as for the garment workers in Los Angeles today. The notion that, in addition to basic necessities, people should have a sharing of life's glories, as James Oppenheim put it in his poem, Bread and Roses. The over 100 years have passed, the Lawrence strike resonates as one of the most important in the history of the United States. Like many labor conflicts of the 19th and early 20th centuries, the strike was marked by obscene disparities in wealth and power. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Open collusion between the state and business owners also sounds familiar. Large-scale violence against unarmed strikers, and great ingenuity and solidarity on the part of the workers. In important ways, the strike was also unique. It was the first large-scale industrial strike, and overwhelmingly a majority of the strikers were immigrants, women, and children, and the strike was guided in large part by the revolutionary strategies and vision of the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW. Beyond its historical significance, elements of the massive textile strike may be instructive to building a much-needed radical working-class movement today. Some of the philosophical and strategic characteristics we can look at are taking direct action, the prominent role of women in making a radical labor movement today, the centrality of class, participatory decision-making, egalitarianism, an authentic belief in the wobbly principle that we are all leaders.
For the people hear us singing, red and me.